I want to look at chapter 19, but I'm only going to look at the first five verses tonight. And the reason that I am is because the first five verses are actually linked with the last chapter. We begin the actual marriage supper of the Lamb and the rider on the white horse and all that in verse 6, okay? But we need to look at this first five verses of chapter 19 and look at what's being said. You know, I'm not talking politics here. I watched it probably like a lot of y'all did. And there's one thing that struck me in all of this is Joni Ernst from Iowa, who won the governorship there, she was talking about how great the United States is and how great it's going to continue to be. But I'm here to tell you she's wrong if one thing doesn't change. It isn't economics and it isn't jobs. It's morality. That is where things have got to change. There have been a lot of great nations in the past that are no longer great nations. And the reason is they took the highway to immorality, just like we're taking. I want us to pray for these newly elected people in just one respect. I want to pray that they will grasp the message that we need a change in the air of morality, which I pray might lead those that are still in office to the same degree of commitment. And if we do that, the Bible tells us and promises that God will honor it if we do. We as God's people must do the same thing. And as I thought about that, and as I thought about these first five verses, it spoke so plainly to me. And all I heard on the news was, well, they've got their job cut out for them because all of America is concerned about economics and jobs. Well, sure, maybe we should be, but I'm concerned about something else that will take care of that situation if we'll go back to the Lord God who created us and established us to begin with. And we get encouragement by that in these first five verses of chapter 19. And it's in my Bible, the heading of it is called Rejoicing in Heaven. In 17 and 18, we have the absolute demise and destruction of the religious harlot and the commercial and political harlot in 18. Okay? We begin to see, now, let's look at verse 24 and then go right into verse 1. He says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth." It says, "After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven." I want to talk about that. This great multitude in heaven are the people of God. Now, I don't believe that it was necessarily loud because it was one person projecting, but it was a multitude of people hollering and screaming out loud, "Praise God, hallelujah." You know what? This is what it is. Hallelujah. He says hallelujah here. He says salvation and glory and power belong to our God. That is something that is so appropriate to what we need to have our mindset today. Okay? They are praising God because all salvation, all power, and all glory belong to Him. It's not ours. What gets done gets appointed and assigned by God. Do we understand that? He is sovereign and chooses to do as He... What happened last night, we can say, well, it was the voters. I'm not here to tell you it was the voters. It was God appointing who He wanted in. I believe that because of what Scripture says, and I believe Scripture to be absolutely inerrant of every and any type of error at all. So when we think about that, those appointments were made by God, hopefully. Maybe it'll be about what God has laid upon my heart to touch on Sunday morning about a little bit of revival going on, okay? And don't tell me, maybe it can start with them, I don't know. But maybe it can generate to us to what we need to do. But our salvation, the power that is demonstrated, and the, you know, these things, and the glory belongs to God, not to us. And you know, with whatever happened last night, I just get down on my knees and say, praise you, Lord, because maybe we can head back in a direction towards you. Because folks, please understand something. God was there in the beginning and the institution of this nation. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at the works in the beginning. The Ten Commandments were the basis for our amendments, for our Constitution. They were. Look at what they say as opposed to what God taught. They are the basis of it. So, you know what? We need to recognize that God is the only one that has provided salvation. God is the only one that is worthy of glory and all power. I like what it says in Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, all power is given to me, which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's what Jesus said. That word power comes from the word exousia, okay? And that means absolute, that goes beyond dynamite, if you can imagine that. That's the power that Jesus Christ was given. So, he says, now, for his judgments are true and just. What he did to the harlots and what he does today still speak that statement. What he does is true and just. And he does it because it's within his character. You see, Christians, we can't practice sin and believe God's going to change. And many do. It's not in his nature and in his character. It's like I shared on Sunday. You know, God can't tempt folks with evil because he himself cannot be tempted with evil. Okay? So how in the world and why in the world have so many people justified in their minds that God is going to overlook it because it's the 21st century? God's judgments are just. God's judgments are true. Okay? So understand that. As it will be, as it was with the two harlots, it is today. If we don't turn and we don't change, whatever comes our way is true and just from God. Amen? And the thing is, if we don't do something about it, to try to change it from our perspective where we are, then we're just as guilty for bringing it on to ourselves and to this nation. Okay? So, he says, this, whatever happened as far as the harlot's concerned, if the judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute. The prostitute, of course, was in chapter 17. The religious harlot. Okay? Those who led the world into believing in the beast. The beast one. The prostitute, the religious harlot, was beast number two. Okay? And we know that when the beast and the dragon and they were done with her, they killed her. They killed her. And so we see that his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. God avenged those martyrs, those servants. I read something that said when it uses the word servants here, it's basically speaking of those that are in heaven. And could even mean those specifically that were martyred during the tribulation. But, you know, it's subjective. And regardless of that, God's going to avenge the blood of all of his people, all of his servants. And I believe that to be past, present, and future. Okay? And so we can see that she who was corrupted, she was judged. The judgments were true and just. And described her a little bit as being one who led the world in sexual immorality, not literal physical, but idolatry to the beast. And so therefore, and avenged on her the blood of the servants. Now, in verse 3, it says, once more, they cried out. They cried out again, saying, "Hallelujah! Praise God! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." We need to understand what that means. That's also described in Genesis. Okay? The smoke represents the absolute final destruction of Babylon. Okay? That smoke that goes up forever means simply this: that Babylon will never, ever be rebuilt and never, ever come to life again. The smoke of her destruction goes up before the Lord forever. And I don't know about what that might mean to you, but I'll tell you what, I'm relieved about one thing. Never again will we have to deal with false religions. Never again will we have to deal with false prophets. Never again will we have to deal with greedy governments or greedy government officials or those that are seeking just power for themselves. Never again are we going to have to deal with that, because that's what the whole centrality of what Babylon was about. That's what it was about. It built upon that. It is gone. Is it any wonder that the saints and the servants of God are praising Him and singing hallelujah? Amen. When we go at the rapture and we are there, it's as if when we read that they were viewing this, we're going to be singing that song too. Amen. And we'll remember, no more will there be the temptation and the leading and the seeking of the lion to devour us. No more. Sin will not be present for us. Of course, we're going to have bodies that are not going to be tempted as our mortal fleshly bodies are, because we're going to be in that which is incorruptible. Man, think about that for a moment. Doesn't that excite us? I mean, I don't know about you, but I would pray that day would come soon for all of the church, that the rapture would happen. But I want God's will to be done and not mine. I know as I think about it, I'm thinking selfishly. You know, I don't know about you. Do you ever get wore out fighting sin? You ever get wore out fighting the battle? I do. You know, just a slip of a thought's all it takes. It doesn't take a whole lot to know that you've sinned, to know, you know, and sometimes it just gets so overwhelming. I mean, we're not just battling one enemy, we're battling several enemies. And one of those enemies is ourselves. The Bible tells us that. So, but one day, the smoke of all of this is going to go up forever and ever as a reminder that Babylon will never return and all that it stood for. Well, in verse 4, he says, "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah." Have you ever heard something that so inspired you that you just screamed Amen and Hallelujah inside? Is it any wonder that the 24 elders and the four creatures just bowed down before God and said Amen and Hallelujah? They weren't going to have to witness this or be a part of it anymore. It was over. It was done. What a day that's going to be. What a day. You know, I read something that one person, and I'm not going to say one way or the other because I don't know, but I thought it was pretty interesting that they believe that the 24 elders are the 12 apostles and 12 prophets from the Old Testament, that they make up the 24 elders. I don't know, but I thought it was kind of interesting because we know of 12 very strong prophets in the Old Testament, but regardless of that, guess what? The attention isn't drawn to them except that they humbled themselves and fell down and worshiped to God. That's what it's going to take for us. That's what it's going to take for our nation to be something different other than it is. I mean, if you've seen some of the, news and stuff, you know, it's just, it's nothing more than now is going to be a contention and a battle. That's all it's going to be. Nothing, it can't change in the physical till it changes in the heart and the head. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where it's got to begin. You know, we talk about where how the Bible teaches us there needs to be unity in the body. If there's unity in the body, I don't believe there's anything that we can't do together as God's people. Amen. Isn't that awesome? We got one little schism or division, and that disables us. Maybe not completely, but that's all that it takes. Our government's no different. They were prosperous, blessed by God when they worked together in unity. That's what it's going to take. It's not about being an R or a D or a blue or a red. It's about working together for the betterment of the people as one group. I don't know if that can ever happen. You know, we've all got such different ideologies than they do, and if they think it's economics and jobs alone, then we're still in trouble. It's because nothing's going to change. Because that's not a platform that we can stand on and ask God to bless us with. I'm sorry. We need to do just as the 24 elders and the creatures did. We need to fall down before our God and say amen and hallelujah. We need to begin that immediately. We need to begin that now. Not that I pray that we didn't before, but this may be a new opportunity to fall down and say, oh, holy God, hallowed be thy name. You know, we know your kingdom is coming, right? We're going to find out in verse 6 beginning next week. His kingdom is coming. These next two chapters are awesome in what they represent. The actual takeover of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Maybe we don't like the word takeover, but anybody that has created what there is has the right to take it over, don't they? That's the way I looked at it. I didn't do anything to make the earth. I can't grow a tree unless I plant the seed, which I didn't make. God made the seed. I didn't bring the H2O together and whatever it takes to make water. I didn't do that. God did. Oh, we can simulate things. But we didn't create it. He did. And you see, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. And we need just to come and fall down before Him. And you know what? Maybe we need to start with saying, you know what, God, I sinned. I've sinned. Why is that important? Because that's where it starts to bring and restore us in repentance, because that's called humility. God hears the humble. I am so... I've tried to say very little about our present president, okay? I don't say much. But the one thing that this man is lacking is humility. And until we humble ourselves before God, first of all, and I have a feeling that his God's not my God, we can't have togetherness, and that's what it takes to build our nation back. But that can't stop us. I was reading a little article. It talked about the two pastors in Reno or Las Vegas, I forget which, where they were told that they may have to pay fines and do all of this because, what's that? Boise, Idaho, thank you. Because they have a wedding chapel there. And well, guess what? When enough people voice their displeasure because it's wrong, things change. And it changed. They're dropping everything. You see, the problem with American Christians is we've kept silent too long. I'm not saying we have to go out and hold big signs and protest. But we can let ourselves be known in very simple, direct ways. I don't know about you, but when I stand up for God's word, it's as if I'm humbling myself before God, saying, this I know is the right way. This is what I need to be doing. And I praise God, and I thank Him, and I say amen and hallelujah. But let's get all on it. Amen, all of us together. Because the more that follows suit in what these 24 elders and creatures are doing, what a difference it's going to make. Okay? Well, here, in verse 5, it says, and from the throne came a voice saying, it sounds like it could be another angel. Not necessarily the multitude, but the voice of this angel is saying this, praise our God, all you, His servants. You who fear Him, small and great. Now, everything that I read believes that this is speaking to those that are already gone. I have a little bit of a problem with that. Because in heaven, there is no small or great. We are all of the same family. I believe that since we've addressed heaven, we've addressed the servants in heaven, that possibly these servants are the ones that are saved on earth. Okay? Because they still have their positions, great and small. Okay? But the point is, everybody will and needs to praise our God. Those who don't fear Him, and I'm going to use the word love Him, or are His, they are not going to praise God. We know from the last chapters that in their arrogance and indignance, they're going to curse at God, throw stones at God, do whatever they can do to try to think they're going to bring God down out of heaven and overthrow Him. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that exactly what Satan tried to do when he was ousted out of heaven? Overthrow the throne of God. He's up to the same old trick. That's what it's all about. It is the redemption of the people of Israel, yes, but Satan's goal is to try to overthrow the throne of God. Well, all I can say is this. He better enjoy his 7 years. Because, man, baby, that's all he's got. And then it is kaput. It is done. As God and Christ return. That's why, to me, these verses speak of what happened, the end of, the rejoicing in heaven over the harlots and stuff. But it just spoke to me in so much more, so many more ways. It is as if it was poured out today for us. Poured out today for us. And I'm not trying to take it out of context, but the principles of the truth of the word is as good today as it's going to be then. Praise Him. Worship Him. Fall down and thank Him that His judgments are just and true. Praise Him. All the multitudes, praise Him. Thank God. We can't predict the future. We can't even begin to say what's going to happen. God knows that picture. But we do have the word to which we can apply into our lives today for tomorrow to make a difference in anybody's life that we come in contact with. How awesome that is. No. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Could be. You know. Well, yeah. Yeah. He is God. He's God in the flesh. He's God, our Savior, our Redeemer. Yes, He is. In my own way of thinking is that I believe God would have His angels preceding Him. Now, that's just my thought. That's just personally me. But Right. Yeah. So it'll pick up there with that. But what I want us to understand in these verses is the fact of worship, is the fact of humility, is the fact that God is ending all of that, and that Babylon and all that it stood for will never rise again. Because at the time of the millennium, Christ is reigning from the throne of David. Okay? And it's even been said in Scripture that He's going to reign with a rod of iron. Kind of sounds like how He reigned in the Old Testament. But you have to remember, there's still going to be a lot of mortal souls. And those that were saved during the tribulation are going to have children that may not receive Christ during the millennium. We know that. And we know that because when Satan is let out of the pit, what's going to happen? He's going to go through all ends of the earth and gather these souls together for one last battle. So we know that they're not going to all be saved. They're not going to all, even though Jesus is there, just like, that's why Jesus said to the if you do and give us a sign, why? You've got all kinds of signs. You got me as a sign, and you still don't believe. So you know what? They're going to have Jesus sitting right there, and they're going to see everything He can do. It does. It blows me away. But it's going to happen, and there's going to be, it says, there are going to be multitudes of them. Well, when you live 1,000 years, I mean, and you have children, you can have a lot of children in 1,000 years, you know? So there's going to be multitudes. And so with that, in verse 6, we begin to see it's the presentation of the marriage supper and the Lamb. And I'm going to stop right there, okay? And we're going to pick that up next week. But I just wanted us to really take a close look at those first 5 verses that relate to the passing away of the harlots. One being the religious and one being the commercial and economical political system. Okay?